Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with my dad, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Ryan, you and I have a very, very good friend with us today. Two of them, in fact. And the first is Alex McFarlane. He is president of Truth for a New Generation. That's an organization that attempts very successfully to equip students with solid biblical answers so they can defend their faith. And he's also the author of a number of books. We've talked about some of them here on Family Talk. And his strong suit is apologetics. I'm going to ask him in a minute to explain that again, because I think there are a lot of people that don't know what apologetics is. It sounds like you're saying, I'm sorry, but that's not exactly it. So we'll come back to that. Alex is with North Greenville University, which is a leading Christian college in the U.S., and that's just the beginning of the things that he's into. And I especially appreciate his influence on young Christian students. That is his passion. Mm-hmm. He's a speaker and writer. He's married to Angie. And Alex, it's a pleasure to have you in this studio again.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Dobson and Ryan. It's an honor beyond words to be here.
You are a go-getter, Alex. You write a book a year at least, and some years more than that. And you're a professor and speaker and writer and all these things. Plus, you have a big convention every year. I mean, big. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm excited about the gospel, and it's been a privilege to serve the Lord in a number of ways. And Truth for a New Generation is the once-a-year annual event we do, and it all started years and years ago when I was a youth pastor and wanted young people not only to have a relationship with Jesus, but really be able to defend their faith. And so I began to pray about bringing in great speakers, and we, over the years, had the privilege to bring you in to speak, and Josh McDowell, and Ravi Zacharias, and Charles Colson, and a number of people like that. And
who are all those guys? I've never heard of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think sometimes there's the assumption that young people don't care about truth, but we've found out over the years that young people do care about truth. Yeah. You shoot straight and you talk to them and you challenge mm-hmm. and inspire. A couple of times it's been our privilege to have Ryan Dobson in, and he always is a crowd favorite. But it's the Great Commission. I mean, the bottom line in my heart is the Great Commission, that we make disciples of all nations and all age groups.
Mm-hmm. You were in my office a few minutes ago and you talked about something that happened when you were just a teenager, early 20s, I guess, and working in your garage on a car and listening to the radio. That's where you kind of got your faith down and began to understand what the Christian faith was all about. Describe that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dobson. You know, it really is an honor to share this Kodak moment in my own life. I was 21 when I accepted Christ. I was going to UNC Greensboro, University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and came to the Lord through a Bible study, began to grow in the Lord, and really just a few weeks into my faith, began to listen to Christian radio. And, you know, I kind of had a sense that there was a lot I needed to learn because the college I was attending at that time was pretty liberal, although I didn't really know that term. I just knew that suddenly I had a relationship with Jesus, and a lot of what I heard in the classroom really was—
It didn't match up.
It didn't match up. One night, though, I began to listen to Christian radio. I was restoring an old car, and I would, from 7 o'clock at night till 10:30 at night, in my parents' barn, listened to the Christian radio station. And I heard Chuck Swindoll, and I heard David Jeremiah, and I heard John MacArthur. But my favorite was James Dobson, honestly.
I wasn't fishing for that.
No. But one night, and I began to really listen to you because the culture war The sanctity of human life, the home and marriage, and the Christian worldview. You talk about apologetics as in defending the faith. I believe you are an apologist because you have given your life to proclaiming and defending truth. And I'm one product of the millions of other lives you've touched, and that's true. But one night I was listening to your voice. This is 30 years ago. And you said, I distinctly remember it, you said, if we in the church don't stand up for marriage and stand up for biblical morality, you said one day the U.S. Supreme Court will be telling us what is or isn't marriage.
That was in the mid-'80s?
That was in the mid-'80s. I remember it vividly. Mm. And I remember, and I thought, really? Could that be true? But, we have the Pledge of Allegiance, and In God We Trust is on the money. But yet here we are in the 21st century. And you were prophetic in sounding that rallying cry, and here we are, very much in danger of losing any semblance of a Christian nation.
Well, you can understand how depressing it was for me when the Supreme Court on June 26th struck down traditional marriage, or at least redefined it, and I'm still brokenhearted over that because I saw it coming. It's one of the reasons I left USC School of Medicine and started Focus on the Family in 1977, because I saw this coming.
Sure.
And we are there now, and our country will never be the same because of it.
Well, on that day, my publicist called me 20 minutes after the ruling hit the wire service. And I was asked to be on with Geraldo Rivera, and I was. And he said this, and this is pretty much a verbatim quote, but Geraldo said to me live on air, what are your thoughts? What are your reaction? Needless to say, I was very brokenhearted. He said, it's over, brother. For Christians, for all of you traditional values people, it is over. Turn off the light and go home.
Yeah, he didn't mean just marriage. He meant everything.
Yeah.
It's going to affect every aspect of culture. I just wrote my monthly letter on that.
I agree with you. This is less about marriage and more about an attempt to eradicate the gospel from American culture.
It is.
Because of our religious freedoms that hang in the balance, our ability as ministers to proclaim the full counsel of God, this is about a war on Christianity. It really is.
And a lot of Christians are going to be dragged into court to deal with the religious liberties that they're losing. Mm-hmm. And that really is sad, too. Let me hasten to introduce our other guest. You guys are friends. Mm-hmm. And I just met you for the first time today, Jason, but you're my friend too.
Thank you.
Jason Jimenez is a pastor, apologist, and national speaker who has ministered to families for over 15 years. So your heart is here too, isn't it,
absolutely.
Jason?
Yeah, absolutely.
He has an extensive ministry career. Jason has been a children's student and college pastor and has spent a great deal of time investing in marriages and families and helping churches have greater impacts on their communities. He is the founder and president of Reshift Ministries, whose mission is to help Christians live out the biblical worldview. Very similar, Alex, to your mission statement, isn't it?
It is, yes, sir.
Jason is the author of The Raging War of Ideas, How to Take Back Our Faith, Family, and Country. The Raging War of Ideas Study Guide, which he co-authored with Dr. Norman Geisler. The official study guide to I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist and other things. The Bible Answers to 100 of Life's Biggest Questions, published by Baker Books. Jason, it's a pleasure to have you come with Alex and be with us today.
Well, it is an honor to be here with you, Dr. Dobson, your son, Ryan. And we love the work you guys are doing. And Alex and I are just thrilled to be with you guys today.
Ryan, did you know Jason before today?
Nope, today's first day too.
Ah.
It's a great thing they're doing, the Stand Strong Tour. and a lot of the work that they do together. I really like that you're reaching that 18 to 28, that quote-unquote lost generation.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Churches have so many things for, you know, younger kids, junior high, high school, and then you go off to college, and so often kids go away to college, so they're not in a home church necessarily, and they feel a little bit disenfranchised. Remember when I went to school for the first time, the church in the local area just wasn't like it was for me at home. And I didn't really want to go that much. I mean, I went every now and then, but it wasn't a regular thing. And I did kind of, I didn't lose my faith by any means, but I lost my church. And I think it would have been really helpful. And it's great to see you ministering to this generation that does feel a little bit lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're trying in the Stand Strong events where Jason and I speak all around the country, not only to help kids find Christ and be saved, and it's very evangelistic, but we do a pretty intense immersion into biblical worldview. And we tell teenagers, okay, here's what you're going to hear at college. Here are the ways that the Christian worldview will be undermined and attacked. And so we began over a year ago to meet and pray and had breakfast together a lot of times. And we felt led by God to combine our ministries. And
well, it's actually, and I'd say one person that, like you, Dr. Dobson, have been an impact on our lives was Dr. Norman Geisler.
Yeah.
So he's mentored both of us separately. And then upon
he's
our times,
man.
Yeah,
good
our
man.
Times hanging out together, having a lot of meals with him, he would mention, hey, you really got to connect with Alex again. He would say the same to Alex, and the Lord did. I dropped him an email, said, you know, the state of our country, where we're at today, you know, marriage is falling apart. And our heart in trying to reach young people, we need to really come together.
Jason, I'd really like you to address that in greater length. What is going on with that 18 to 28 generation that's out there? What are they thinking? Are they absolutely lost? Are they hungry and don't know it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they searching?
Mm-hmm.
Are they depressed? What's happening? And all of the above,
yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, there's a mixture. I mean, you're talking about over 80 million millennials. So these are people born after 1983 that are now entering the workplace. Most of them don't get married. And as we are looking at the studies, Dr. Dobson, today we're seeing that this is fastly becoming the most godless generation of all in our country. And so we know that
that's scary.
That is very
that?
Scary. I mean, when you think about it, in the last 5 to 6 years, 8% of millennials have turned from a particular faith, if you will, or spiritual belief system. So that's devastating news. And so a lot of them, when you do talk to them, they are engaged. I mean, here's a statistic that should really actually excite us in a sense of talking to a growing godless generation. Over 90% of these 80-plus million millennials, they have a high regard and high respect for elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
They do. The other thing that's fascinating about them is when asked the question, do you think that your life will influence the world to come? Overwhelmingly, they say yes.
Yep.
But here's the problem. They lack a biblical worldview because their parents lacked a biblical worldview. And churches today are not teaching from the Bible. They're teaching stylistically through topical things, and they don't like it. You know, when you show a millennial a traditional model church, like a picture, literally, versus kind of a modernized industrial type of hip, you know, edgy kind of church, 80% of them say, I want that traditional church. They want the structure, they want the home values, but they just haven't gotten it because a lot of them have come from broken families, mm-hmm. blended families.
And in fact, their parents came out of the late 60s
right.
generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of them threw over their faith, and
right.
it was the sexual revolution, and it was the belief that God is dead, and it's mm-hmm. all of that nonsense that took mm-hmm. place in the late 60s.
Right.
And they had children that became this generation you're talking
mm-hmm.
about. Now, when you're talking to them, let's suppose you have 1,000 kids. Kids, I call them, 1,000 of that generation, and they're sitting out there looking at you. Do they get it? Do they understand?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to introduce them to Christ? Do they come up afterwards and talk to you? What do they say to you? I really would like to know them better because
right.
I don't know them as well as I would like to.
Well, the great thing is I think the three of us with Ryan and Alex here with me, I think we can really add, I think, to that question, because that is a great question, Dr. Dobson. I think it's something that what I've witnessed is before you deliver content to an audience of millennials in their 20s, let's say, they're looking at us already and they're saying, hey, who is this guy? Why should I even care about this guy? You know, so a lot of times we think, hey, I'm going to prove to you the resurrection. Well, what we have to do is say, hey, I love you guys. Okay, I love truth. You guys are here because you're truth seekers yourself. God has planted me here, and I'm going to be real with you guys. So in one sense is when they look at you and think, you know, why should I care? Why should I even be here? Who do you think you are? And you start showing that, hey, I am very passionate about truth, and I'm not going to compromise about it.
Do they have any knowledge of who Jesus Christ is?
See, that's a good thing. Here's another thing, and I came out of working with a lot of churches in the West Coast and East Coast and big churches, been very blessed and honored. But a lot of these churches that I've been on staff with and I've worked with and people that I'm sure you guys know, we have kind of lost our way. And what we failed to do, and this is the church, Dr. Dobson, as we know in America, and I think there's a great repentance that needs to come, and through that repentance will come a revival. In many departments around the country and churches today, we failed to teach them Jesus, to show them Jesus firsthand. We get so sidetracked and overwhelmed by entertaining the people there and keeping them there and keeping them engaged and making sure we have all the departments that fulfills all the needs that these families have. And that is all messed up.
That's not enough.
And we're not giving them Jesus. I mean, so yes, and one of the reasons when you're looking at, and we've talked to people like our good buddy Sean McDowell a lot, when we talk about this faithless generation or this unchurched generation, we kind of have to be careful in how we're categorizing them. But in one sense, people that are millennials that were raised in a quote evangelical church, one of the things you find out when they get of age, if you will, and this is already happening in middle school, the doubts are creeping in, the skepticism's there. They're not being challenged. They're not being discipled by mom and dad, especially if they come from a blended family.
There's no unanswered questions.
There's unanswered stuff, and it really drives them crazy. But then when they leave, we start seeing the stats say that they're unchurched or they turn from their faith. Well, the reality is a lot of them didn't even know Jesus to begin with. They didn't. In one way, that's a challenge to us as ministers to say, we got to be giving them the gospel and we got to be giving them Jesus and we got to be discipling them. So a lot of times when we have these people, they say they are now unchurched, if you will. They weren't really Christian to begin with. And that's sad. That's the reality.
It's not only sad for them, but for the rest of us, for the entire country. Because, if you have a population that is largely made up of people who don't have a Christian worldview and have an understanding of Jesus Christ and what the Scripture says and the importance of Scripture, they'll walk away from it. And when they do, America's gone. Especially when they get old enough to be in positions of authority.
Yeah, it's what you're saying is totally true. I go to a very young church. I'm older in my church. My pastor is a lot younger than me, but he's not just an ordained minister. He's ordained in the Anglican Church. So he's an ordained priest as well. And we have a lot of liturgy in our church, and it's thriving. Virtually all people younger than me, but they eat it up, and he tells the truth.
You invited Shirley and me, your mom.
Oh, you loved it.
And we actually loved it. I mean, he preached the gospel.
He does.
He really did.
You know what I call it? Brene Brown. I don't call it this. Brene Brown calls it this. She's talking about excruciating vulnerability. And that creates trust.
Yeah.
It breaks down those fear barriers. It says, I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I'm going to tell you how I feel, how I think. I'm going to tell you when I'm scared. I'm going to tell you what makes me nervous. When he talked about homosexuality in Sunday morning service, he said, this makes me incredibly nervous. I know there are people that are going to be offended by what I say today, and that makes me anxious. It makes me nervous. Well, that makes you like him more because you're human. It's not someone preaching at you. It's someone talking with you. Well, it's such a different thing for that generation. They don't want to be talked at. They want to be talked with.
And in that, we have a real opportunity because as we speak around the country in the Stand Strong events, we find a lot of teenagers and early 20-somethings, they'll be very open. They'll be very transparent with their feelings, some of their hurts, their fears, and many times in one-on-one counseling with people, but even very often in front of an entire audience. We do Q&A. And we have an opportunity as the church, if we'll share the gospel, that Christ died, was buried, rose again, and whatever sin we've done, he can forgive. We need to share this gospel uncompromisingly, but also convey this message. And we find millennials really latch onto it, that the call is to be a disciple, a lifelong follower. It's not just a prayer we recite once.
Alex, do you have the courage to say to them that there is only one way, and it's through Christ, and he is the way, the truth, and the life? And all these other things, there are people now in that generation that say all religions are the same. They have little nuances that
Someone
are different.
Someone said that to me recently. They said, God's too big for one religion.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
No, my goodness. He created the universe and he's too big to tell us.
And well, we talk about the fact that Jesus is unique. Jesus didn't just speak for God, he spoke as God. And he is not one option among many. He is the one, the only Savior. And, you know, I think we've got so many kids that have heard muddy, blurry, double talk. When we come along and we speak truth, here is the Word of God, period. They respond. They really do.
Alex, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
It seems to me there was a time where the rest of the world was asking big questions and thinking about answers. But when those questions were raised in church, the quote-unquote church, they were shot down because you shouldn't ask those questions. The Bible said it. I believe it. End of the story. Stop asking questions. And it feels to me this is the result of that. You know, why are we afraid of the questions?
Sure.
I mean, I don't understand why we're afraid of these, or why were we ever afraid of them? That's a natural thing for kids to do when they're growing up. They want to make their faith their own. They're therefore going to question what you believe. And it feels like turning that off and saying that you shouldn't ask questions says something intrinsically. It says, maybe you don't know the answer. And if you don't know the answer, maybe you don't know the truth. And I'm going to go to someone that at least says. That's why atheism is seen as the smarter choice. And it's not. It's just we weren't asking questions and getting real answers.
Well, I tell moms and dads, you know, if your child comes with a spiritual question, don't reprimand them. You know, don't make your child feel like it's off limits to ask questions, because really in the asking of questions and the finding of answers, that's where we grow. That's where we grow. Now, the good news is for the Christian message is that compelling lines of evidence prove the Christian faith. When we say that God is real, Christ rose from the grave, the Bible is true, we believe that by faith, but it's a faith undergirded by absolutely compelling evidence from many, many vantage points. But young people need to understand that the questions do have answers, because they're going to sit in a college classroom one day, and the PhD at the front of the room might be some person that is anti-God, anti-America, anti-religious freedom. And we must win souls, but also equip minds. Not only for the young person's personal walk with Christ, but so that they won't be a casualty of the unbelieving season of our culture that we're in.
Well, and the other thing, Ryan, too, that when you ask a question, a lot of times in the church today, they look at that as skepticism, a danger, like you are part of that secular humanistic kind of culture, and you're bringing it to the church, you young people, and you're questioning this belief system that you should, in faith, believe, right? And so you get reprimanded or just ignored. In some senses, though, to give the benefit of the doubt to some extent to people when are challenged that way in a respectful manner, like the young person asking the question, oftentimes they don't know what to say. They are threatened and confused by the question itself.
And listen, because I can understand that.
Yeah.
We're talking to parents today, a lot of them out there, whose kids are asking those questions, and they're terrified to be asked, because there's nothing in life they care about more than that their sons and daughters accept Jesus and they were together in heaven throughout eternity. But when that gets questioned, it rattles the knees. It really does. You know what? Our time's gone, but we need to talk some more about this next time. And
let's open with this, because I want to talk to that, because I know where parents are at. So let's open with this tomorrow.
Let's do it. And we had intended, Alex, to talk about your new book, at least I can give the title of it, and we'll talk about it some more next time. But The God You Thought You Knew, Exposing the 10 Biggest Myths About Christianity. This book has just come out, hasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And they can get it at all the usual places.
Yes, right?
Sir. We're out of time. Glad to have you here. Jason, glad to meet you. Alex, it's fun to renew a friendship.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. Appreciate it.
The time really did fly by today, Dad, and we are out of it. So there is still so much to cover. You know, the most important legacy we can leave to the next generation is a faith that endures. So I hope all of you will join us for the conclusion of our conversation with Alex McFarlane and Jason Jimenez. We'll discuss practical tips and tools to help you parent from a biblical worldview. You don't want to miss it. In the meantime, if you'd like to get a copy of Alex's book, The God You Thought You Knew, or to find out more about their ministries, check out the link on our website at drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.